Amen. As you know, we have been going through a teaching, what does God require of us? And God requires a lot, actually. But the first thing He requires is us to be born again. And we talked about that last week. And to walk with Him, first we must know that there is a real person that we're walking with. That God is real, that He's near to you, that His Word is in your mouth and in your heart. And His great desire is for us to know Him. Not just know about Him, but have a deep love and understanding about the reality of who God is, who Jesus is. Not just that He came and died for our sins, praise God for that, but that He's coming again. And He's looking for a people group to be truly be Christian. Not just by name alone, but by the very acts, by the walk, by the way they love, by the way they live their lives that's acceptable to the God who created us and called us to be in His family and part of Him. Unfortunately, most people who call themselves Christian really haven't been to the through the conversion power of the Holy Spirit. Most folks who call them Christian have come with their lips and their lips alone. Or in the movement of an emotional ride. You know, they were caught up in the wave of a cross current that drug them into a thing that they really hadn't counted the cost of. And then when things get hard, and Jesus talked about this in a parable about the seeds in the soil, you know, the word goes out, and some seeds fall on dry, good places, some fall in stony places, some fall amongst weeds. There's a lot of people who spring up really quick because of a message and really didn't take time to examine the stones in their life to move them out of the way that the seed could actually take deep, penetrating roots, right? And do a supernatural conversion from dark into light. And so today we're going to talk about salvation, what it really is. Because it's much more, just like a couple weeks ago we talked about worship, is more than just a song. It's a heart towards God. It's a soul given over to Him. Salvation is more than just a prayer. It's more than just a confession. Talking about the real belief in God, who He is, what He does, how He works on the hearts and the souls of the individual to convert them, to transform them into the image, not Christ, but the image of His love, His resurrection power, His grace, and God does those things. It's not that we sit in a corner and we say, I'm going to make it work. If you try to make it work, I tell you, it will not. The Jews tried to make it work by obeying the law. They could not do it. The law, the Ten Commandments, the law, the statutes, and the commandments of God were a schoolmaster that were teaching the people how that there is a true God coming, that there's a true righteous Savior that's going to be here and lead us into all righteousness. Lord willing, today I'm going to unfold that, maybe one little wrinkle. And because it is a very deep and vast subject that we're going to be getting into. And so even now, let us go to the Lord and just ask His blessing on the Word. Father, we thank You, Lord Jesus. We thank You for Your Word. And we do pray that we would truly look at what it means to be born again. Father, that it would be for this group, for anybody within the sound of My voice, it would be more than just a confession. But, Father, it would be a real walk that would be honoring to You, Father, that we would indeed be light shining into darkness. And let Your Word, Your light, Your love would be expounded through the lives of individuals, broken vessels, Father, humble vessels that are built up into a holy house. Lord, and we thank You and we praise You for those things in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. So, last week we did an introduction to Jesus, right? This week we're going to talk about what that introduction does, how it moves in us, on us, how actually God does the work, and all He's looking for is a people group that would really believe, and what
belief means is different than what we might think it means. Abraham believed God and it was accounted unto him as righteousness. But how did Abraham come to that belief? Father God moved over him. Jehovah, the one who spoke the world into existence. The Spirit of God that moved over the darkness and said, let there be, and there was. That God met Abraham when he was in the Ur of Chaldees, before he went up and he came out of doesn't matter the place because I can't call the name of it. Before he came out and came into the promised land, God spoke to him and ministered to him and explained to him what true faith is and how to walk and to know what it is. And Abraham believed him enough to adjust his life to what the Word of God said to him. That's real belief. It's the adjustment. It's not just the hearing. It's the adjustment. It's turning the from who I am, what I think is right. If it doesn't line up with the Word of God, then I don't need to change the Word of God. I need to change me. Because God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He does not turn. There's no shadow of turning in Him. He is right, righteous, and holy, and perfect in every way. Now you say, well, how can I do that? Abraham, he talked with Melchizedek, right? He talked with God. God spoke to him, and he heard God speaking. Well, we have the Word of God. We have the King James Bible. Amen. The King James Bible, when you read that, it gives us everything we need. What? It speaks. Amen. We have two witnesses here on the earth, and that is the King James Bible and the Spirit of God that Jesus said that He would give to us, the Comforter. And so if we're reading the Word of God, the Comforter talks to our heart and says, well, this is your life. Remember that old show? Some of you may or may not. This is your life. Well, this is your life without God. And then when the light comes on, He says, this is what your life should be. Now it's up to you as an individual to adjust your life to what God says, that it, the kinetic energy can be converted into. Right? Because in us is the very breath of God, each and all of us. Now God ignites that with the written Word of God and the direction of the Holy Spirit in the individual that creates faith in them. A man cannot have faith without the Father moving over him. A man cannot be converted into the image of God without the Father moving over him. A man cannot be saved unless the Father moves over him. And the beautiful thing about that truth is the Father moves over everybody. He does not want anybody to come short of the glory. He doesn't want anybody not to make it into eternal sanctification through the blood and the power and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. The only thing that stops us from making it there is us. Amen? It's our stiff-neckedness. It's our saying, well, that can't be real. I won't worship a God who does that or who does this. Well, if you can't worship the God of the Bible, I dare say you are not saved. If you can't follow His Word, His righteousness, even or especially if you don't agree with it. Because God doesn't care whether you agree with it or not. Joshua says all the time, God said it. It doesn't matter if you agree with it. God's Word is premier. It's the only Word that counts. Any other word, words of men just don't count. Paraphrasing John chapter 6 and verse 44, paraphrasing so you don't need to turn there. No man can come to me except the Father draws him. All right, there's a lot more to that. But you cannot come to God. You can't make up your mind today and say, I'm going to get saved. Because you don't get saved. You surrender your life to His power. And when you surrender, that means you don't have a will of your own anymore. You humble yourself before the hand of the Most High God. And you allow Him to create in you a new being that you're not able to do by yourself. And this comes from faith. All right, because I know in myself I can't do it. So I'm believing in something that's outside of my realm of comprehension. I can't wrap my mind around this. But God, two favorite words in the whole Bible. Yeah, this is who I am. That's what I am, a sinner in need of salvation. And God reaches down from heaven above, from eternity beyond our understanding, and He covers me.
He opens up my senses, my understanding that there is a real God that loves me even in the middle of my mess. Because while I was yet a sinner, Christ died for me. I didn't, and y'all heard me say this, I didn't get better to get God. I got God, and then I got better. Amen? You don't say, well, I'm going to work myself into salvation by obeying the commandments. If you do that, you will never get saved. You may become a moral individual, but you'll never be written in the Lamb's Book of Life. You'll never be accepted there if you try to do it on your own. Because man's righteousness is like
filthy rags.
Man's right, as good as you can get, isn't anywhere near where you need to be. But when you really get Jesus, I'm not playing off that stupid football commercial. I've never seen it. Jesus gets us. I think Tom was telling me about it. Well, no. Jesus understands your sinful state, but he doesn't want you to remain there. All right? And that commercial that's being played all over the NFL garbage places and all that barfarama that's out there, I'm sorry about saying, no, I'm not. It is that. It is goo. Thank you, Alan. It is that kind of goo. God is calling us to know him in the reality of who he is. Holy, righteous, set apart. The I am. The beginning and the end. The author and the finisher of our faith. He starts it, he works in you, and he finishes it in you. Your job and your only job is to believe him, humble yourself in the hand of the Most High God, and he does the work. He shows you what is sin in your life. God shows it to you. See, I can preach to you about individual sins, right, Dean? I can tell you about this, that, and the other. That doesn't matter. But when God pierces your heart and says, this is sin in your life, then it's up to you to do something about it. Right, Doug? Right? It's God doing the work in you. It's God exposing you to it. And then when you walk in the obedience, I'll get to the scripture in a minute. When you walk in the obedience of that, God does a transforming power supernaturally where it cannot be seen in the innermost part of the man. And then as you embrace that change that begins in the most inner part of man, it starts producing fruit on the exterior part of the man. The fruit of the Spirit, love, kindness, goodness, patience, of all of the seven, right? And that starts working out through you because of something that was done internally to you, not by your will, but by his will. That is the essence of salvation. It's more than just a prayer. It's more than just saying you want it. You've got to want it bad enough to do it. And when you want it bad enough to do it, God meets you in the middle of where you are, and he opens up your understanding. Again, like we started last week in John chapter 3, that's where we're going to be today, all right, just to start with in John chapter 3. I want to say in John chapter 3, verse 3, except a man be born again. Amen? All right, we're going to say this three times. I love it when Jesus says the same thing three times. Unless you are born again, you can't see it. Unless you're born again, you can't comprehend it. Unless you're born again, you can't be converted to it. Being born again is the essential part of understanding God. And you don't get born again of your own will. You get born again of the will of the Father. He moves over you. He's a spirit, and he moves like the wind. Nobody knows where it comes from. Nobody knows where it goes to. But when he moves on you, right, Skip? When God moves on you, it changes you. Not in a little way, but in a huge way. It changes, it metamorphosizes your interior parts and makes you know him in a deep, intimate way. And thank you, Alan, for that. It says, so again, in verse 5, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. It only, not only is an external thing, it's an internal thing. You must be born again completely, or you can't enter into the kingdom of God. Again, in verse 7, marvel not that I say unto thee, ye must be born again. Three times, he says, you've got to be born again. You must be born again. Don't think this as a strange concept. Nick, he thought of it as a strange concept. He said, how can a man, when he's old, enter again into his mom's womb? Can't do it. But it's a spiritual regeneration Amen? It's a spiritual regeneration that it affects the physical part of human beings. All right. we could go on. I'm going to skip down a little bit. All right. Okay. I can't skip down. I really wish I could skip down, but I can't skip down because this is just, it is just that important. My main crux is going to be in verse 19. We're in verse 5. Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That which is born of flesh is flesh, and that which is born of spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I say unto thee, ye must be born again. The wind bloweth where it list, and thou hearest the sound thereof, but canst not tell whence it cometh, and whither it goeth. So is every one that is born of the Spirit. Have you had some of your unbelieving relatives say, Tom, I just don't get it. Tom, I just don't get it. You're doing things that are just so crazy to my flesh. Kevin, you ever have, I know you have, Wendy, and we've had that conversation. When you're being led by the Spirit of God, it is crazy to the world. It's crazy. God will ask you to do things that are absolutely outside of comprehension. Abraham, take thine son, thine only son, the son whom thou lovest, and go and sacrifice him. That's crazy. But when he did it, he met God. When he did it, he met God. Do you want to meet God? Listen to what the Word of God says. Be conformed into his image. He will lead you into the weirdest spot. He called a boy from Louisiana, from Alabama, to Rochester, New York. All right? And made a square peg fit into a round hole. And snow. Made me pray for snow. Hated snow. Hated snow. But God said, I want you to pray for snow, and God made snow. Amen?
Amen.
God does things crazy that you might know his righteousness, his glory. He converts the sinner, the one who walks in darkness, into a glorious light. He does that work. It's not you that do it. All you do is obey and walk. That's why we must walk with God through the Spirit. If you don't walk with him, you'll never know it. And the world, they understand that the wind blows, but they really don't understand how the wind blows, especially in Jesus' day. Well, I wouldn't even say in Jesus' day, I would say even today. How many times is the weatherman wrong with Doppler radar and everything else? It's going to rain and the sun shines. It's going to sunshine and it rains, right? It's crazy. They understand that the wind's blowing, but they really don't understand what makes everything work. Well, so is the one who's born again. You see what they're doing, and it looks crazy to the world, but God, he has a purpose. But God makes a way where there is no way. All right, in verse 9, the Nicodemus answered and said unto him, how can these things be? And Jesus answered and said unto him, thou art a master, that means teacher, a master of Israel, and knowest not these things? There are people in the church today that have heard these things and cannot comprehend these things because they're not filled with the Spirit of God and the true writing of the Word of God. Right? They don't really believe what they say believe is real. So even Jesus says, listen, you're a master. You should know these things, Nick. You ought to know these things. You're a teacher. How can you not know what it means to be born again? To be converted? Great question. And Jesus said, verse 12, if I tell you of earthly things and you believe not, how shall ye believe if I tell you of heavenly things? No man hath ascended up to heaven, but he that came down from heaven, even the Son of Man, which is in heaven. All right. Jesus was on the earth, but he says, I'm still in heaven. The Son of Man came down from heaven. Right? And he just said that he's still in heaven while he's talking to Nicodemus on the earth. Oh, sounds like Jesus must be God.
Amen.
Right? Jesus must be God. He was in the beginning with God, and the world was made through him, and without him nothing was made that was made. He was God from the beginning.
And God so loved you that he came and gave his life for you that you might have an awakening, a born-again experience through his blood, through his power, as we get into this. And he talked about Moses lifting up the serpent in the wilderness. Even so, the Son of Man must be lifted up. I'm not going to go back to Exodus and go through all of that for you, right? I would suggest that if you don't know the account, because, as I've said 1,000 times, these are not stories. These are accounts. These are real historical events, and you can find it. Amen. That whosoever believeth on him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Whosoever, Paul, how many is whosoever? It means whosoever, right? It doesn't matter what color, how tall, how short, what you believe before. If you will believe in Jesus Christ, you can have eternal life. You should be saved. I like that, should. A lot of other translations put shall in there. And it's not shall, it's should. You ought to be saved. You ought to be saved. You should be saved. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already. Amen? It's all about belief, and God gives you the power to believe. He gives you the power to follow. He gives you his Holy Spirit as a guidance through this dark world. He leads you on the narrow path. You don't find it yourself. He brings you to the narrow path. He gives you to the Word of God that says, don't stray to the right or to the left, but stay in the narrow way. And when you stay in that narrow way, I will guarantee you life eternal with the Father. But you got to want it bad enough to stay on the narrow way. And then he gives you the instruction on how to stay on the narrow way through the Word of God and the unctioning of the Holy Spirit. How many of us Christian, born-again believers here, before we step off into sin, we know it's sin before we did it? Right? I knew I shouldn't have gone there, but I did it anyhow. Oh, if any man say he has not sinned, he's a liar. Amen? And the truth is not in him. But if we sin, or I will change that. This is me. This ain't the Bible. This is 1 John. I will say, as we sin. It says, if we sin. But there's no if in my life. I'm going to sin. All right? I'm not boasting about it. It's just a matter of fact. If I confess my sin, he is faithful, and he is just to forgive me that sin. So it's about belief, it's about confession, it's about the truth of God's Word over the reality of my inability to follow him that makes me where I can follow him, right? God resists the proud and he gives grace to the humble. If you are so proud that you cannot confess to God that you're a sinner, you can't be saved. You just can't be saved. If you're so proud that you can say, well, I think it ought to be this way, God, regardless of what the Word says, well, you can't be saved. That means the Father, although he's moved over you and he called you by name and he wanted you to be born again, you chose your way over his way. And as long as you want your way, you can't get into his way. That's what the spiritual birth is all about. It's no longer my will that flares up that says, I have to understand it to believe it. No, I believe it, and sooner or later I'll understand it. There's a lot of stuff that I believe I do not understand. This whole account of the serpent on the stick. Don't understand it. I know that the Lord sent serpents into the camp and they were biting people. They were dying. All right? And Moses, and the Lord told Moses, take a bronze serpent and put it on a stick, stick it in the middle of the camp, and anybody who looks at the serpent with faith, right, though they be bitten, they won't die. I don't get it. Until Christ. You know? He is the one that's held up on the stick. And when you look at him with faith, you believe that he has the power to heal you. You have the belief that he has the power to resurrect you. You have belief that he has the power to give you direction. Belief enough to look into it and do it. Right? To look into it and to do it. It's more than just knowing about it. It's more than just confessing it. There is a walk that is my responsibility in salvation.
All right, he that is not condemned. All right, verse the rest of 18. Because he that he hath not believed in the name of. All right, I got to go back because that's the middle of a sentence. Verse 18. He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth is. I say that backwards. But he that believeth not is condemned already. Why? Because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And this is the condemnation. All right, this is what's going to send you to hell. This is what condemnation is all about. The light is coming to the world, and men love darkness rather than light because their deeds are evil. All right? Simple. If you love your wickedness more than you love God, you're going to hell. And you're going to be in hell until the 1,000 years comes, and then you're going to be raised up in a day, in a moment, and you're going to be judged, and then you're going to be cast out into everlasting darkness forever and ever and ever and ever and ever. Well, eternity. Or you're going to believe in Jesus Christ, you're going to walk in His righteousness, you're going to put your faith in Him, and in that day of resurrection, then you're going to be with Him. You won't face the second death. You'll be part of the first resurrection. Why? Not because of your good works. It's because you believed in Him. Believed in Him enough to do what He says. Man, mind-boggling, isn't it? For everyone that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved. But he that doeth truth cometh to the light, that his deeds may be made manifest, that they are wrought, that means worked in God. My deeds of righteousness is not anything that I can do in and of myself. That any deeds of righteousness I do are worked in God, in me, for you. God didn't give me any self-righteousness. He gave me God righteousness. And God righteousness is better than my righteousness because my righteousness is what? Filthy rags. As good as I can get is filthy rags in and of myself, but God. But God so loved you that He came and met you right in the middle of where you are and says, if you will follow me, if you will believe me, I will convert you from darkness to light. I will do that. Not Curtis Fitz, not saying that I'm going to become a moral individual and get to heaven. I cannot do it. God says, if you believe in me, if you believe in my Son, if you believe that God came and died for the sin of the world, believe it enough to adjust your life to the righteousness that's written in the Word of God, then I will save you from darkness, everlasting condemnation, and bring you into light, everlasting peace. And then he just leaves it like that. What do you want? What do you want?
Verse 36.
Amen. And he that believeth on the Son of God hath everlasting life. And he that believeth not the Son of God shall not see life. You won't even see it. But the wrath of God, what? The wrath of God abideth on him. Who wants the blessing of God? Who wants the wrath of God? If you do not believe in Jesus Christ, you will experience the wrath of God. You might experience the blessings of this world, but this life that you're living is but a vapor. It only lasts for a moment. It's like when you walk out on a cold day and you breathe and you see your breath and how fast it disappears. That's your life. That's all your life. It's the little dash on your tombstone between born and dead. That's all your life is. It's nothing. But eternity is everything. Forever and ever and for all in all. And it all really depends if you truly believe in Jesus Christ. If you, and again, what does it mean to believe in Jesus Christ? Well, Galatians chapter 6. And this here is really where I want to start preaching. So all of that I said just to lead up to this. All right, so this salvation that we're talking about takes help. I need Tom. Tom needs me. I need Kevin. Kevin needs. I need you, Wendy. I really do. I need you. I need people in the body of Christ to help me. And people in the body of Christ need me to help them. We work
isn't it called symbiotically? Symbiotically? Symbiotically. Oh, praise God for that big word. Yeah. So we need each other to make the root system work to make new life in each other. And so in chapter 6 of Galatians, brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, okay, y'all who know better, you're spiritual, you which are spiritual, restore such a one in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou shalt also be tempted. Bear ye one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. If any man think himself to be something when he's nothing, he deceives himself. But every man will prove his own work, and then shall he have rejoicing in himself alone and not in another. For every man shall bear his own burden. All right, we're going to keep on talking about that. But think of this. You're going to stand alone before God, Tom. And God's going to ask you, Tom, what did you do with this Jesus? Right? Man, you're going to stand in front of him by yourself. And you're not going to say, well, my husband, Bill, he told me this. God's going to say, no, you had my word. You had my spirit. You stand alone. Well, my great-great-grandfather was a great-great preacher. Well, that doesn't matter. It's on you individually. And as a body of believers, when I see Alan stumbling or when Alan sees me stumbling, it's our duty to come along beside him. And not that I'm stronger in him in anything, but I may have lived through some stuff that he needs help with. And he's lived through some stuff that I need help with. And when he sees me going down that road, he comes along beside me and says, hey, Curtis, let me get down there with you for a second and pull you out. Let me wallow, not enjoying in the sin that you're in, but let me meet you where you're at, that I can give you a lifeline to eternal Christ. Amen? And so we need each other. That is symbiotic. But in that, you stand alone before God. Because you have the right to accept that, and you have the right to reject that. When someone comes along beside you and says, Dean, I see what you're doing, and it's against God's word. I want you to know more. Let me come along beside you and love you and help you and bring you out of that. And you say, I don't want to hear that. I want to go my way. And then my job is to say, all right, go your way. You know, I can't make you. I can bring you to it. I can show you it. I can bring you to the smorgasbord of the grace of God, but I can't make you eat one bean. Right? But if you want it, we'll sit down together at the dinner table and we will feast on the righteousness of God and we both will grow from that. But on the last day, you will stand before him on your own. Verse 6, let him that is taught in the word communicate unto him that teacheth in all good things. Be not deceived, God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that he shall also reap. Amen. For he that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption. But he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap everlasting life. Where are you putting your seed at? Where are you putting your seed at? Are you putting your seed in yourself? Are you putting your seed in the world or from the world? Are you just planting the things that you can see physically and none of the stuff that you can know spiritually? Listen, if you walk in the Spirit, you will not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Amen? And the flip side of that coin, if you walk in the flesh, you will not fulfill the desire of the Spirit. You got to make up your mind today whom you're going to serve. You got to make up your mind who you're going to walk with. Who are you going to come to for help? If I have a problem in the spiritual realm, I'll come to somebody who's spiritual. Amen? And I'll ask them. I'll say, will you pray for me? Will you join me in this? Brother, sister, I am struggling in whatever area, and I can't seem to break the bonds of this. Will you pray for me? Will you share scriptures with me? And will you strengthen me through that? And we both come out of the ditch together. Amen? God's not mocked. Now, if you sow to the flesh and you want to reap that flesh, then you will die and go to hell. You will. You may not like that. Time is too short for me to preach on something that you're going to like. Rainbows and unicorns are, although they're in the Bible, light, fluffy, syrupy, milk and cornbread sermons need to be put out with the cat. Right? And you need to come to the reality of God. You need to come to the reality that there is one God. And He loves you. And He's called you. And He wants us to walk that we might reap the spiritual everlasting life with Him. Verse 9. And let us not be weary in doing and well doing. For in due season ye shall reap what? If you faint not. So alright, so you start walking with God and then halfway through you say, I don't want it no more. And you faint, you fall to the wayside. What are you reaping then? If you turn away from the righteousness of God, even after you said the prayer, even after you confessed it with your mouth, and you believed it for a season, and you turn away from that truth, there remains no forgiveness for your sin. Because you rejected it. You can't stop moving forward. Who here has from time to time? I'll raise my hand. Right? I have. How did you get back on track?
Got the book.
You got the book. You got back in the book. You got back by reading the Word of God. And see, as long as you have breath, you got a chance. Unless you've turned apostate. Thank you. Unless you've turned totally apostate to the Word. But if you have just stopped, aggravated, something in the world got you mad at God. And folks, I wanted to let you know, I've been mad at God. Right? There have been times in my life where I said, I ain't like a little spoiled brat. You know, how many times have your kids said when they were little, I don't love you anymore? Anyone? Or is it just me?
No.
Okay, alright.
We've heard it.
Right? Does that mean that they didn't love you anymore? No, it means that they were angry for a moment. And when that moment was past, they got better. Same thing with us and God. We may come to that point in our life that says, I don't love you anymore. But you still keep coming to the dinner table. You still keep praying. You still, and God says, all right, that one's not totally lost. He's just angry. Let him hold his breath. Who here, I know when I was a kid, I said, I'd hold my breath till I died. My mom said, I dare you.
Oh.
She knew that I'd only hold my breath for so long that I'd pass out and I'd breathe. Right? Even if you're stubborn enough to hold your breath until you pass out, which is pretty stubborn, you will breathe. Right? You're not going to stop breathing. And mom was smart enough to know that. So I dare you. Go ahead. I want to watch. We may say that with God. I'm so mad. I'm going to hold my breath. And God says, okay, hold your breath. I'm still going to be here. When you breathe again, I'm still here. I'll never leave you. I'll never forsake you. I'm going to love you. I'm going to bring you through this. Now, there are those who say, I don't want to know you any longer. I don't want your righteousness. I don't want your holiness. And those turn apostate. And for them, there is no remission for sin. But that's a hard thing to do with God. Don't think that that's an easy thing to happen. Because it's not just a short walking away. It's a true leading the righteousness of God. And again, if you're around spiritual folks, it's my job to come along beside you and say, hey, brother, come on, let's get out of this mess. Let me help you. Let me pull you through this. Let's walk out of this together, arm in arm. And then I will stand with you on that day, right? Not stand for you, but stand with you. And that will be counted to you as righteousness on both sides. That's what the whole Christian life in a nutshell is about. Loving one another. How will they know you're Christian? By your love one for another. So in these things, I'm going to keep on reading to the end of the chapter, and really and truly, we're here, right? We're here, and there's the rest of it down here. We'll talk about this again tomorrow or next week. And so, but as we go on reading through this, be not deceived, God is not mocked, verse 7. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. He that soweth to the flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption, but he that soweth unto the Spirit, or to the Spirit, of the Spirit shall reap everlasting life. The Lord just brought this back to me again.
If you're tired of the crop that you're reaping right now, okay, you understand what I'm saying? You're tired of the life that you're living, you're tired of struggling all the time, change your seed bag. Stop sowing to the flesh. Stop sowing to the flesh. Stop doing that. If you don't like living in thorns and thistles and briars and brambles and hard, thick things that you can't eat and can't use, stop doing it. You stop sowing. Didn't say that God's going to change it for you. He says stop sowing. And if you change your seed bag, sooner or later, you're going to reap the righteousness of God instead of the wrath of God. Right? So how do you change your seed bag? Well, you get into the Word of God and you find out what's right seed. What is the good seed? What is the holy seed? What are the things that God is pleased with? And do those things. Ah, thank you, Lord. This has happened to me so many times. I'm doing the right thing. I thought I changed my seed bag. I changed the outside of my seed bag, but I was sowing the same seeds, right? But I thought that I was doing the right thing. But nothing changed. Right? So when nothing changes, guess what that tells me? I'm still planting the wrong seed. So when you start planting the right seed, in due time you're going to start reaping righteousness. You're going to start reaping the blessings and the holiness of God in your personal life. But to get there, you got to finish the crop that you started. You can't just plow it under. God can. And as He takes away the unrighteous, you start planting the righteous, the holiness of God in your life. And then you allow that to grow. And we got farmers here. Hey, Steve, how long after you drop a seed in the ground do you actually receive the crop? Like tomorrow?
90 days.
All right? So it takes at least 90 days in the natural world. In the spiritual world, it may take a while to get away from sin and debauchery. Those were the seeds that I sowed for a long time. All right? It took a while. In fact, not only did I have to change the seed bag, I had to change the soil. Because where I was, I couldn't become what God wanted me to become. Because I was still in a mindset and amongst that, and amongst the thorns, living like the thorns, planting the seeds of thorns. But then there came a day that God said, get up and get out of your father's country, and I'll bring you to a land. And I'm going to change you from who you were to who I want you to be. God's good. He's good. He loves you. He loves you. He wants you to come out of who you were to be who He wants you to be, that you might reap the benefits of having the courage to change the seed bag. Having the courage, not to just change the bag, but the seed that's on the inside of the bag. See, I didn't change this bag that you're looking at. God changed it. I may have come up and tried to do some different things in my life, but until God changed, showed me the right seed to plant, and I took the courage to plant it. It didn't produce the crop that I wanted until I truly died to myself and lived for Christ, and He made it different. God makes it different. It's not you, but you got to be willing to do whatever it takes to get the right seed. If you're tired of what you're reaping, start looking at changing the seed, not the seed bag. As this bag is just a bag. But the thing on the inside of the bag is what changes everything around you. Okay? verse 10. As we have therefore the opportunity, let us do good unto all men, especially to them who are of the household of faith. You see how large a letter I have written unto thee with mine own hand. Now he's not talking about the size of the letter that he wrote. He's talking about how long this is. You read the epistles of Paul. Now, I was taught in Bible class that this was written with great big letters. Extra large print. I don't think so. I think he's talking about the depth of what he's teaching here. How deep, how long, how interactive it is with the church and how it changes the individual. So anyhow, he says, what large letter I've written unto you in mine own hand. And again, large letter, not large letters, right, is how long it is. as many as desire to make a fair show in the flesh, they constrain you to be circumcised. Only they should suffer persecution for the cross of Christ. For neither they themselves who are circumcised keep the law, but desire to have you circumcised, that they may glory in your flesh. Don't do what I tell you, do what the Word of God tells you. Amen? Don't let me give you direction. I will tell you what the Word of God says, we'll go through it together, but if I say follow me, you're going to go to hell. Because I can't lead you without Christ leading me. You follow righteousness. It comes down to the individual. Don't follow Tom. Don't follow Dave. Don't follow Alan. Only follow the God who wrote the Bible. Only follow the one true Spirit of truth. Follow Him. But God forbid that I should glory, save in the Christ cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom the world is crucified unto me, and I unto the world. When you're really converted, you are crucified. You're dead to the world, by the world. You're no longer enslaved by the power of the flesh anymore. You've been set free by the liberty of Christ to walk in the holiness of God. No longer am I confined by what the world says to do. I am confined by the love and the power of a risen Savior. Amen? For in Christ Jesus neither circumcision availeth anything, nor uncircumcision, but a new creature. This being born again makes a new creature. It's not an external thing, it's an internal thing that makes an external evidence. But it happens on the internal. And on the internal, I used to steal, right? Then I got saved, I quit stealing. Right? I used to tell these fantastic lies. I did, I was a liar. I used to be a drunk. I mean a stone-cold alcoholic. But God. I used to be a drug addict. But God. He changed me on the inside until the outside started resembling what was on the inside. I used to not be a man that you would even want to know, unless you were a devil, you know. But God, He made a change. I decided to trust Him and walk in His righteousness, and He converted me from darkness to light. I truly got born again. In a conversion, not in a confession. Right? It was a conversion that changed. For as many as walk according to this rule, peace be upon them and mercy, and upon the Israel of God. He's writing to a Gentile church. He says, listen, I want you to be part of the Israel of God. We've been talking about in Sunday school, thank you Tom for this, that the true Israel is not just Hebrew people. The true Israel are those who have wrestled with God and prevailed. God took my sinfulness and wrestled with me. And do you know how I prevailed? I died to it until God popped my hip out of joint. Right? No longer could I walk that way anymore. Now I need to walk with the support of the staff of God. Jacob leaned upon his staff.
Holt.
Amen. Yeah. Yeah. So this born again, like I said, I'm just barely touching the top of this today. This born again, truly being born again, is more than just saying it. It's a life change. It's real. It's personal. It's deep. It's spiritual. That which is flesh, and that which is spirit. Don't be amazed that I tell you, you've got to be born again. You must be born again or you cannot enter into the kingdom. In fact, you can't even see it, is what Jesus says. You can't even begin to wrap your mind or comprehend the holy righteousness of God until you are surrendered to the power of God. And then God changes the seed inside the seed bag. And when you start sowing into righteousness, you start reaping righteousness. You start sowing holiness, you start reaping holiness. You start sowing love, you start reaping love. But you gotta sow it before you can reap it. You gotta put it out there. And when you put it out there, humbled before the Most High God, God does a miraculous work that even the world can see. Next week, by the grace of God, we'll talk about Philippians chapter 2 or 2 Corinthians chapter 13 or, again, John or Romans chapter 10, verse 17. Hearing, faith comes by hearing and hearing by the Word of God. If you've heard something today that's just making you scratch your head, you can ask me about it. You can ask Doug about it. You can ask Tom or Kevin about it. If you're a female, ask Gayla about it. Ask Wendy about it. Ask Judy about it. She's not there. Right? You find somebody, ask Bonnie about it. These folks that I know that know the Word of God, if you ask them about salvation, they'll tell you about salvation. If you ask them about walking with God, they'll come along beside you. I know Bonnie will. She has. I know Wendy will. They have. They've come along beside folks and milked them along, gave them the easy things until they're able to contain the harder things. If you're a man and you're in this area, come to men's group. Amen? Amen? And we will wring that out of you. Amen? So, anyhow, folks, I love you. I know that I've kept you a few minutes long. Go ahead, my brother.
Is that what you're teaching here? Saying you have purified your souls in obeying the truth through the spirit of the unfeigned love of the brethren, that you love one another with a pure and fervent heart, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of the incorruptible, by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever.
Amen. Synopsis of today's teaching.
You could have read that. I could have been over an hour ago.
The teaching was too good.
Amen. And so, folks, I love you. I don't want you to come short of any spiritual gift. I don't want you to miss the mark. And so we'll go over these basic principles until Christ comes back. You may think these are very basic. Well, they sound basic until you try to do them. Then you find out just how difficult this walk is. And then when you find out how difficult this walk is, you see the faithfulness of God to come along beside you and guide you through this dark age into the light that's going to come. And I'm excited for you. I'm excited for us. And let's close in prayer. Anybody feel led to pray besides me? I will.
I'll pray.
Go ahead, brother. Go ahead.
Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you very much for this time today, both in Sunday school and in church. Lord, it thrills my soul to see you reveal yourself through your word. And Lord, that's the only way you reveal yourself. Lord, help us all to be hungry and thirsty for the word of God and to read it and to study it and to ingest it and to make it part of our lives. Help us to obey it. Help our faith, Lord, to grow as we read it. And Lord, I'm sitting here thinking about some things during the message in Sunday school, about some things that you're asking me about to consider in my life. Lord, help my heart to be open. Help me to do what you want me to do. And the same for everybody else in this room as you speak to them. Help them, Lord, to listen to you and obey you and want to know more and be closer to you. And Lord, in this lost and dying world, there's a lot of people that have no idea of what's coming. And Lord, a lot is coming. A lot is already here, but it's going to get way worse. And Lord, I just pray that as we speak to people, as we talk to people, as we come together in fellowship, that you will encourage us, strengthen us, embolden us, so that we do what you want us to do. And Lord, I'm going to be missing these people for a few weeks, so I pray for them right now, Lord.
Thank
you. Watch over them, please, and take care of them. Help them to grow from where we are today. Lord, as Paul said in the scriptures, to be forward a year from now. Lord, help us to always be moving forward and never regress. Never walk away from our faith, but strengthen our faith. Help us to do what we know to be right from the Word of God. Not what we know to be right in our own hearts, but what you have told us is the right way to be.
That's right.
And help us to be real believers, Lord, and strengthen all of our faith, and help us not to walk away from you in any way. Help us to submit. And Lord, I thank you again for this time together today. It was truly a blessing, both Sunday school and the church, and they meshed together so well because it's based on your word and based on you. And I love these people, Lord, and take care of them. Keep them healthy physically, spiritually, mentally. Lord, just take good care of them and help them to have no major problems in any way while we're gone or when we come back. In Jesus' name, I thank you, Lord. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Father God, I'd like to add, it seems like when Doug prays, you tweak my heart. And I pray for Doug and Nancy, Curtis's family, your family.
Yes.
Lord, that you would put your hand of protection over them, give them a safe journey, bless them, comfort them, and of course, pray for Joshua, Christy, family, Lord. Comfort Joshua in the loss of his father, and bless him. Bless them, Lord.
Yes. Amen. Amen. Amen.